And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, looking at all the things that are going on in our country, we've got the powers that be stomping on hankies and carrying on about the borders of Ukraine while our southern borders are just, come on down. You get here, we'll give you money, we'll give you a cell phone, put you on a bus, take you to Washington. I mean, it's just absolutely silly. And where you beat the drums and parade and scream to appoint a Supreme Court justice, I can't even tell you what a woman is. I don't know what's happened. The inmates are running the asylum. And if you say anything, you're evil. Well, today's April the 8th, 98th day of the year. 267 days remain till the year's over with. On this day in 217, Roman Emperor Caracalla is assassinated, succeeded by his Praetorian Guard Prefect Marcus Aurelius Marcinius. In 876, the Battle of Deir al-Aqla saves Baghdad from the Safavids. 1139, Roger II of Sicily is excommunicated by Innocent II for supporting Anacletus II as Pope for 7 years, even though Roger had already publicly recognized Innocent's claim to be the Pope. And I'll assure you, Innocent was not innocent by a long shot. 1149, Pope Eugene III takes refuge in the castle of Ptolemy II of Tusculum. 1232, Mongol-Jin War. Mongols begin their siege on Kafing, the capital of the Jin dynasty. 1271, in Syria, Sultan Baybars conquers the Krak de Chevaliers. 1730, Sharith Israel, the first synagogue in New York City, is dedicated. 1812, Tsar Alexander I, the Russian Emperor and the Grand Duke of Finland, officially announces the transfer of the status of the Finnish capital from Turku to Helsinki. 1820, the Venus de Milo is discovered on the Aegean island of Milos. 1832, Black Hawk War. About 300 U.S. 6th Infantry troops leave St. Louis to fight the Sauk Native Americans. 1866, Italy and Prussia ally against the Austrian Empire. 1886, William Ewart Gladstone introduces the first Irish Home Rule Bill into the British House of Commons. 1886. It was actually known as the Government of Ireland Bill of 1886, commonly known as the First Home Rule Bill. That was the first major attempt by British government to enact a law who was a liberal's liberal, wanted to create a devolved assembly for Ireland, which would govern Ireland in specific areas. The Irish Parliamentary Party under Charles Parnell had been campaigning for home rule for Ireland since the 1870s. Now, this bill, like his Irish Land Act of 1870, was very much Gladstone's baby. He excluded both the Irish MPs and his own ministers from participating in the drafting, in following the Purchase of Land Act of 1885 to be introduced alongside a new land purchase bill to reform tenant rights, but that was later abandoned. I mean, who cares about the peasants? That's the liberals' attitude, in case anybody had noticed. 1895, in Pollock versus Farmers Loan and Trust Company, Supreme Court of the U.S. declared unapportioned income tax to be unconstitutional. 1904, the French Third Republic and the U.K. of Great Britain and Ireland signed the Entente Cordiale. 1906, Auguste Dieter, the first person to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's, dies. 1908, Harvard University votes to establish the Harvard Business School. 1911, Dutch physicist Hakke Kamerlingh Onnes discovers superconductivity. 1913, the 17th Amendment to the United States Constitution requiring direct election of senators becomes law. Before that, it pretty much seemed to be who you knew. 1918, World War I, actors Douglas Fairbanks and Charlie Chaplin sell war bonds on the streets of New York City's financial district. 1924, Sharia courts are abolished in Turkey as part of Ataturk's reforms. 1929, Indian independence movement at the Delhi Central Assembly. Bhagat Singh and Badukeswar Dutt throw handouts and bombs to try to get arrested. 1935, the Works Progress Administration is formed under the Emergency Relief Appropriation Act of 1935. It became law on this particular date. 1940, the Central Committee of the Mongolian People's Revolutionary Party elects Yumjagin Sindimbal as General Secretary, marking the beginning of his 44-year-long tenure as the de facto leader of Mongolia. And when you have a Central Committee, and it's the people's whatever, you're talking about communism. 1942, World War II, siege of Leningrad. Soviet forces open a much-needed railway link to Leningrad. Also in 42, the Japanese take Bataan in the Philippines, which gave rise to the Bataan's Death March. 1943, U.S. President Roosevelt, in an attempt to check inflation, freezes wages and prices, prohibits workers from changing jobs unless it would aid the war effort, and bars rate increases by common carriers and public utilities. In other words, he ruled by decree. 1943, Otto and Elise Hampel are executed in Berlin for their anti-Nazi activities. 1945, World War II, after an air raid accidentally destroys a train carrying about 4,000 Nazi concentration camp internees in Prussian Hanover, the survivors are then massacred by the Nazis. 1946, Electricité de France, the world's largest utility company, is formed as a result of the nationalization of a number of electricity producers, transporters, and distributors. 1950, India and Pakistan signed the Liaquat-Nehru Pact. 1952, U.S. President Truman calls for the seizure of all domestic steel mills in an attempt to prevent the 1952 steel strike. 1950, Harry Truman was a haberdasher with delusions of grandeur, kind of like a lot of nurse practitioners I know here who call themselves doctors. 1953, Mau Mau leader Jomo Kenyatta is convicted by British Kenya's rulers. 1954, the Royal Canadian Air Force Canadair Harvard collides with a Trans-Canada Airlines Canadair North Star over Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. 37 people are killed. 1954, South African Airways Flight 201, a de Havilland DH-106 Comet 1 crashes into the sea during the night. 21 people are killed. 1959, team of computer manufacturers, users, university people led by Grace Hopper meet to discuss the creation of a new programming language. It would be called COBOL. In 1959, the Organization of American States drafts an agreement to create the Inter-American Development Bank. 1960, the Netherlands and West Germany signed an agreement to negotiate the return of German land annexed by the Dutch in return for 280 million German marks as Wiedergutmachung. 1968, BOAC Flight 712 catches fire shortly after takeoff. As a result of her actions in the accident, Barbara Jane Harrison is awarded a posthumous George Cross, the only GC awarded to a woman in peacetime. 1970, Barrel Arabakar Primary School bombing. Israeli bombers accidentally strike an Egyptian school. 46 children are killed. 1975, Frank Robinson manages the Cleveland Indians in his first game as Major League Baseball's first African-American manager. 1987, Los Angeles Dodgers executive Al Campanis resigns amid controversy over racist remarks he made while on Nightline. 1992, retired tennis great Arthur Ashe announces he has AIDS, acquired from a blood transfusion to one of his two heart surgeries. 1993, the Republic of North Macedonia joins the United Nations. 1993, the Space Shuttle Discovery is launched on mission STS-56. 2004, Warren Dafoe. Humanitarian ceasefire agreement signed by the Sudanese government, the Justice and Equality Movement, the Sudan Liberation Movement. 2006, Shaden Massacre. Bodies of eight men all shot to death are found in the field in Shaden, Elgin County, Ontario. Murders are linked to the Bandidos Motorcycle Club. 2008, construction of the world's first skyscraper to integrate wind turbines is completed in Bahrain. 2010, President Obama and Russian President Medvedev signed the New START Treaty. 2013, the Islamic State of Iraq enters the Syrian Gulf War and begins by declaring a merger with al-Nusra Front under the name Islamic State of the Iraq and Sham. 2020, Bernie Sanders ends his presidential campaign, leaving the wonderful Joe Biden as the Democratic Party's nominee. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. The holidays and observances. It's Buddha's birthday in Japan, known as the Hana Matsuri, or Flower Festival. Christian Feast Day, Anne Aries in the Episcopal Church in the U.S., Constantina, Julie Billiard of Namur, Perpetuus, Walter of Pontoise, William Augustus Muhlenberg in the Episcopal Church in the U.S. Earliest day of which fast and prayer day can fall, April 14th is the latest, celebrated on the second Friday in April in Liberia. And it's International Romani Day. Let's see what else we have. All righty. '93, the new Winchester Cathedral was dedicated by Bishop Walkelin in Winchester, England. '1195, Alexis III Angelus drives out brother Isaac II as Byzantine Emperor. 3041, Petrarch crowned a poet on the Capitoline Hill in Rome. 1378, Bartolomeo Prignano elected as Pope Urban VI. 1455, Alfonso de Borgia elected as Pope Callistus III. I think Alfonso was also Alfonso V of Aragon, who was the king in that area. 1500, Battle of Novara. King Louis XII of France defeats Duke Ludovico Sforza of Milan. 1530, Holy Roman Emperor convenes an imperial diet in the German city of Augsburg to address Protestant tensions. 1759, British troops chase the French out of Masulipatam, India. 1766, the first fire escape is patented. It was a wicker basket on a pulley and a chain. 1767, Ayutthaya Kingdom falls to Burmese invaders. 1783, Catherine II of Russia annexes the Crimea. 1801, soldiers riot in Bucharest. 128 Jews are killed. I've never understood that type of activity. 1802, French Protestant Church becomes state supported and state controlled. 1808, Roman Catholic Diocese of Baltimore promoted to an archdiocese by Pope Pius VII with the founding of the Diocese of New York, Philadelphia, Boston, and Bardstown. 1838, the steamship Great Western makes her maiden voyage from Bristol, England to New York. 1848, the first battle at Giotto, Sardinia and Piedmont beat the Austrians. 1848, battle at, it was a major battle in Peru. Pedro de la Gasca beats Gonzalo Pizarro. 1861, U.S. men at Dahlonega, Georgia, seized by the Confederacy in the Civil War. 1862, John Lynn patents the aerosol dispenser. 1864, Battle of Mansfield, Louisiana. The Federals are routed by General Richard Taylor. 1869, American Museum of Natural History opens in New York City. 1879, the Khedive Ismail of Egypt fires French and British ministers. 1879, milk is sold in glass bottles for the first time. 1893, The Critic reports that ice cream soda is America's national drink. 1898, the Battle of Atbara River. Anglo-Egyptian forces crush 6,000 Sudanese. 1902, Russia and China signed the Convention of Evacuation, under which Russia agrees to evacuate Manchuria within 18 months. 1902, demonstrations were organized by socialists in Belgium. The people demand better education, better living conditions, the right to strike, and universal male suffrage. Results in a riot, and some folks are killed. 1904, Great Britain and France established their Entente Cordiale, which was a technical treaty settling long-standing disagreements over Morocco, Egypt, Africa, and the Pacific. 1904, British mystic Aleister Crowley transcribes the first chapter of the Book of the Law. 1904, New York City changes the name of Longacre Square to Times Square in honor of the New York Times move to the area. 1910, saw the first race at the Playa del Rey Motor Dome near Los Angeles. The move from horse racing to automobile racing certainly saw some interesting activities. 1912, two steamers collide on the Nile River. 200 are drowned. 1913, the opening of China's first parliament takes place in Peking. The the 1914, U.S. and Colombia signed a treaty concerning the Panama Canal Zone. 1916, Norway approves both active and passive female suffrage. 1924, South African state passes the Industrial Conciliation Act, number 11. Provides for job reservation, excluded blacks from membership of registered trade unions, and prohibited the registration of black trade unions. 1933, the Manchester Guardian warns of unknown Nazi terror. In 1939, King Zog I of Albania flees after Italy invades. 1940, German battle cruiser sink the British aircraft carrier Glorious. 1945, Dutch Nazi occupiers are executed. Nazi General Christensen flees the Netherlands. 1946, the League of Nations assembles for the first time. Let's see. In 1953, Jomo Kenyatta, convicted of involvement with the Mau Maus, is sentenced to 7 years in jail in Kenya. He is considered the founding father of Kenya. 1956, six Marine recruits drowned during an exercise at Paradise Island in South Carolina. 1960, the Senate passes the Civil Rights Bill with measures against discriminatory voting practices. I wonder what they are going to do with cheating in voting. Even though the liberal left media has done their best to cover it up, there's been a lot of discoveries of cheating in this last election. 1964, unmanned Gemini 1 spacecraft is launched. 1965, Indian-Pakistan forces engage in a border fight. 1966, Times publishes its Is God Dead issue, its first issue without an image on the cover. 1968, the new socialist constitution of East Germany takes effect. 1968, gangsters Henry Hill and Jimmy Burke commit the Air France robbery. They stole $420,000 from a cargo terminal at New York City's JFK International Airport. Henry Hill, it seems, was also, in addition to being a mobster, was also an FBI informant. 1973, there were 32 terrorist bombings in Cyprus. 1977, the fifth Prime Minister of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin, resigns. 1983, in front of a live audience of 20 tourists, David Copperfield makes the Statue of Liberty disappear. 1985, India files suit against Union Carbide over the Bhopal disaster. 1986, Clint Eastwood, actor and director, elected mayor of Carmel, California. Well, I think on that note, we finished our little history segment. See what we've got in the way of more conspiracies. You know, the interesting thing about you know, in every organization, you've got conspiracies. Two or more people getting together to influence things in the way they want it to go. That's a conspiracy by definition. There are good conspiracies. There are bad conspiracies. You know, at its basis, conspiracy is defined as a hidden plot by a group of individuals to accomplish something illegal or destructive. A conspiracy theory is a concept that a group of individuals is plotting some destructive or illegal conduct. You know, one conspiracy that has fascinated a lot of people, and almost everybody who was alive at the time can tell you what they were doing and where they were at, was the assassination of John Kennedy, November 22nd, 1963. He was driving through Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas. Shot twice, once in the skull and once in the neck. The Warren Commission was established to determine that there wasn't a conspiracy. It was a lone nut gunman. And the interesting thing is that lone nut gunman actually turned out to have FBI connections. Now, Lee Harvey Oswald was accused of the killing not only of Kennedy, but of an officer named J.D. Tippit. And Chief Justice Earl Warren, of course, was trotted out to say Oswald acted alone. Now, this is the story presented in the history books. But the allegations that surrounded the cover-up revolve around a plot that included the Mafia, the CIA, Vice President Lyndon, I'm going to be King Johnson, Fidel Castro, the KGB, and all kinds of other groups. Some folks think Oswald wasn't alone in killing the president, and another shooter fired the second shot. And there are as many aspects to this conspiracy plan to kill Kennedy as those who believe it. And some of the conspiracy theories were literally unbelievable. Now, one of the key tenets of these ideas, Oswald didn't act alone. And the most telling part of the theory was the fact that Oswald himself... Well, even more bizarre is the fact that witnesses to the murder of J.D. Tippit swear that it was not Oswald, but Earl Warren said, of course it was Oswald. And Oswald was killed in the middle of the basement of the police headquarters, surrounded by police officers. He was shot by Jack Ruby, a nightclub owner, who walked into the basement carrying a gun and walked past a number of police officers who just waved at him and said, "How you doing, Jack?" Now, they were in the process of transferring him from the city prison to the county jail when he was killed. And after his assassination, a lot of folks began to wonder if the president's killing was part of a larger plot. And another aspect to this was the number of shots fired. Now, the FBI, in its infinite wisdom, decided three bullets were fired, two of which hit the president, one struck and injured Governor Connally, who was in the limo with the president and the president's wife and the governor and his wife. Some claim a fourth shot was fired from a nearby grassy knoll that was responsible for Kennedy's death. And that argument supported by the so-called Zapruder film. 26.6 seconds of silent 8mm film. It was bought by a magazine and put into secure storage for quite a number of years. It shows what some believe to be the whole assassination. Others claim there's a pause in the recording that might have shown more and established that there was another shooter. Other eyewitnesses said there was more than three bullets fired, including several reporters, one of whom claimed she was in the line of fire. Now, another element that came under scrutiny is the bullet's trajectory regarding the one-shot hypothesis, which held that one shot killed Kennedy and hit Connally. That's the magic bullet. Nurses, physicians at the hospital the president was brought said Kennedy's skull seemed to have been struck from the front since the rear of it was blasted out. However, skeptics argue the bullet would have had to reverse course after passing through his neck to strike Connally, where if it did, it couldn't have followed the trajectory determined by the police. Other critics said the bullet had a downward path, which implied it was fired from above. Supposedly, Oswald was firing from the window of the book depository. Now, there's a number of theories about the why of the conspiracy. Some think the president was assassinated on the instructions of Vice President Johnson or by CIA personnel who were upset by the events surrounding the Bay of Pigs fiasco. Others think he was killed by KGB agents. Others say he was assassinated by mobsters who were upset with Kennedy's brother for helping prosecute organized crime groups. Others think that Oswald was a CIA agent himself, had a link with the agency, and carried out their intentions in assassinating Kennedy. And there's still others who think Oswald never fired a shot. A detective for the House Select Committee on Assassination said that those conducting the investigation are under pressure not to explore any further into the probable link between Oswald and the CIA. He also said in the days leading up to the murder, a CIA operative in touch with Oswald had links to a Cuban anti-Castro organization. Well, the mystery surrounding Kennedy's murder is one of the most lasting, prevalent, largely accepted conspiracy theories in the U.S. today. And there are quite a number of conflicting views about it. In fact, when I was doing my radio show out of California, I got a call from a man asking me that I have the nerve to play a tape he had. And that tape was made by a contract CIA agent who wanted to tell the entire story. And let me tell you, it is a hair-raising story. I've only played it one time. But it certainly gives an aspect to it that would absolutely blow your mind. The next conspiracy we're going to talk about is the Bermuda Triangle, if you want to call it a conspiracy. Now, the Bermuda Triangle is off the east coast of the United States. And a number of airplanes and boats vanished under exceedingly odd circumstances somewhere in the far western North Atlantic Ocean. U.S. Navy refuses to accept the existence of this region and has no record of it on the United States Board of Geographic Names. And because of this refusal on the part of the Navy, the so-called Bermuda Triangle really has no well-defined region. Now, the location and bounds of the boundaries of the triangle may differ depending on which writer reports the occurrences. The most well-known and widely acknowledged areas of the Bermuda Triangle, Miami on the Florida Peninsula, San Juan on the island of Puerto Rico, and Bermuda in the mid-Atlantic island of Bermuda. Now, a number of writers don't completely adhere to this description. The extent of the triangle has been reported to range between a half million and a million and a half square miles. Up to this point, the triangle has been blamed for the disappearance of over 2,000 ships and 75 airplanes, all of which have vanished from the face of the planet. Christopher Columbus actually provided the first documented evidence of the Bermuda Triangle's abnormal behavior in 1492. It shows in his log that he had seen unusual dancing lights and flames in the sky. He also experienced strange compass readings. After he put it on the map, a lot of nations sent galleons and ships to explore the New World. Several of these ships vanished without a trace due to unexplained causes. Now, although contemporary salvage technology has successfully identified wrecks from that period, they've not pinpointed how they sank with any precision. Now, I'm going to cover some of the more significant disappearances. During the early days of sailing, if a crew defeated the adversary, it might take over their enemy's ship. And with this in mind, most warships carried additional crew members stationed aboard an enemy ship if they were to defeat one. They were referred to as the prize crew. And they were in charge of capturing the prize and returning it to port, where they'd be allocated the vessel if they were proven worthy following a trial. The Ellen Austin discovered an abandoned ship in 1881 and put a prize crew on board. They were going to sail it to New York. But according to history, that ship vanished. According to a number of conspiracy theories, the ship eventually was found without the prize crew on board. Some conspiracy theories claim that the ship vanished a second time with a different prize crew on board. Now, evidence can support the existence of an Ellen Austin at that period, but no casualties have been reported on board, and no disappearing prize crew has ever been confirmed. Then one of the reported mishaps involved in Bermuda Triangle resulted in a high death toll, and the single highest death toll under unusual circumstances in the history of the American Navy. That occurred aboard the Navy warship USS Cyclops. Sailed from the island of Barbados, March 4th, 1918. It was a collier loaded to the brim with magnesium ore. Now, in spite of the heavy load, one of its engines was apparently out of commission. The whole crew, the ship, the cargo, vanished without a trace. There are a number of ideas that have been brought up to explain the ship's disappearance. Capsizing and undercover wartime operations are two of the most prevalent theories put forth. The most logical counterargument to this conspiracy was that the ship sank due to a structural breakdown. It wasn't built to carry the amount of weight it was carrying, so it is possible it capsized in stormy conditions. Now, there's been a lot of curiosity about this, since it felt such a massive ship with such a visible cargo couldn't just vanish. 309 crew members are said to have died in the disappearance of the Cyclops. I read something not too long ago. The Cyclops had been found sitting on the bottom as if it just went straight down. But I've not been able to get any confirmation that that was a valid reporting. Then we got the Carol A. Deering. It was a five-masted schooner built in 1919. January 31st, 1921, she was found abandoned and hard aground at Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, in Diamond Shoals. Now, because she was accused of illegal rum running, there wasn't much attention paid to her case. Another ship, the SS Hewitt, went missing around that same period and suspected of being implicated in the Carol Deering event. However, they've never had any definitive resolution. Then, of course, probably the most famous disappearing act was Flight 19. Five TBM torpedo bombers went lost during a training operation December 5th, 1945. They were to fly east, go north, and come back to their base. And the squadron had been under orders to return to base after the exercise ended. The whole squadron was never seen or heard from again. And, of course, this episode heightened people's belief in otherworldly happenings in the Bermuda Triangle. There were 15. Each of those five planes had a three-man crew. One of them only had two men because a man had a premonition not to go. And these were all wartime veterans. These were not trainees. Now, the military's sole explanation was the aircraft may have had a navigational mistake and finally ran out of fuel. When a search and rescue campaign was launched to try to find them, the issue became even more bizarre. A PBM Mariner with a crew of 13 was sent out to find them. This plane had all the search and rescue equipment you could imagine on board, and it vanished as well. Now, there had been rumors of an explosion aboard a tanker off the coast of Florida, but no survivors or wreckage was ever found. Then we got the Star Tiger and the Star Ariel. January 30th, 1948, the Star Tiger, a flight from the Azores to Bermuda, vanished. A year later, January 17th, 1949, the Star Ariel vanished while traveling from Bermuda to Kingston, Jamaica. Now, both of these planes were part of British South American Airways, but it was alleged these aircraft were barely ready for flying, and it would not have been surprising if they'd crashed. However, one of them was in a landing pattern to land in Miami. Then we got a Douglas DC-3, known as the NC-16002, went missing December 28, 1948, flying from San Juan to Miami. It vanished without a trace, 32 passengers on board. Documentation showed the jet was instructed to fly despite an examination revealing a low battery. But, on the other hand, the plane's engine was not battery powered. Now, if a plane crashes, there's going to be wreckage. However, in most of these cases, absolutely no wreckage was found. Another well-publicized triangle disaster involved two U.S. Air Force KC-135 stratotankers. According to the one version, both planes collided, but the two separate crash sites were 260 kilometers apart. However, a search and rescue ship that visited the location is supposed to have discovered the second site was a forgery. It was a little more than a triangle of driftwood and algae wrapped around an old buoy. So what happened to the two Air Force stratotankers? Nobody knows. How about the Connemara the Four, a yacht that was used by some wealthy folks? September 1955, it was discovered drifting in the south of Bermuda. According to the conspiracy theory, the crew on board was missing, and the boat was discovered adrift under unexplained circumstances. According to further examination, she had broken off and pulled her moorings out of the sea. Now, a lot of claims and explanations have been advanced to make sense of the many strange occurrences. I've given you just a few of the hundreds. Some more prominent theories have claimed paranormal extraterrestrial involvement. According to formally recorded evidence, a significant fraction of the claims about the Bermuda Triangle, of course, were either false or exaggerated by authors and filmmakers. Worldwide Fund for Nature led a poll in 2013 to determine the world's most dangerous shipping lanes, but the Bermuda Triangle was not among them. Now, another conspiracy that has gained a lot of momentum over the years has to do with the CIA and the AIDS virus. Now, you may be acquainted with the AIDS virus, but you may not be as familiar with the belief it's not a naturally occurring virus, but an artificial virus spread by the CIA. It's largely assumed and accepted HIV and AIDS originated in Africa as a monkey or chimp virus that jumped species to humans and propagated. However, there are others who think the virus first appeared in Manhattan in 1979. Just a few years before it was discovered in Africa in 1982. And a lot of folks claim the CIA spread the infection via hepatitis B vaccinations. Now, these immunizations are created using blood given by persons in the United States, mostly homosexual men. Research was done to prevent hepatitis B in at-risk persons, which the LGBT community was believed to be among those most susceptible to it. Vaccine was created using blood from community members and chimp or monkey blood. It was then delivered to the gay community members. When AIDS testing became available, physicians and scientists checked the blood of participants who'd taken part in a trial and discovered that a lot of them were infected with HIV. A lot of folks think the CIA deliberately manufactured the virus either to exterminate the homosexual population and restore what they regarded as a moral majority, or just to use them as scapegoats to invent this sickness for malicious purposes elsewhere. Some think the government created HIV to lessen the population, which would in fact have been genocide against its own people. During the early years of the AIDS pandemic, an East German researcher released a leaflet claiming that scientists at a military facility in Fort Detrick, Maryland, had produced the illness by combining a sheep virus called Vishna with a retrovirus that caused leukemia, HTLV-1. Some folks think the AIDS virus was designed especially to wipe out the black population in America. And they believe the HIV was produced by scientists at the Cold Springs Herbal Laboratory in New York. World Health Organization then utilized the smallpox eradication campaign in Africa to transmit the virus covertly. And then in 1999, British journalist reported that Hilary Koprowski, a doctor at the Wistar Research Institute, unintentionally created the AIDS outbreak by using chimp kidneys manufacturing an oral polio vaccine. He thinks the chimps were already afflicted with SIV, a simian forerunner of AIDS, and during a mass vaccination trial in the Belgian Congo, the virus switched species. And then, of course, among the conspiracy theories is the notion AIDS is not a virus. Some say the illness is caused by starvation in Africa, where promiscuity and narcotics in America caused it. Some think AIDS is a biblical disease sent by God to punish the LGBT population and the rest of America for permitting homosexuality in the nation. These people think AIDS is a gay pandemic and it's their punishment for their transgressions. No question it's a horrifying illness that's left a mark on humanity and continues to harm individuals today, but not in the quantities that it wiped out whole villages during the initial outbreak. Now, it's logical people would seek reasons for the atrocity that they'd want to pin it on a single individual or group, but the evidence is just not there. Now, turning from AIDS, another conspiracy that has led to a lot of discussion is, did we actually go to the moon? Now, since man has come up with the idea of going to the moon, efforts have been made to determine who's going to be the first one to do it. Developing countries and superpowers alike started committing large sums of money to advance space travel and human moon landings. I mean, it literally became a worldwide craze and spread like cancer. Just after World War II, the U.S. and Soviet Union established themselves as superpowers. Willie Ley, spaceflight advocate, German-American science writer, and historian of science who helped commercialize space travel and natural history in both Germany and the U.S., said in 1957 a rocket could be built by the end of the year if somebody would just sign the papers. That comment, of course, caused quite a brouhaha. October 4, 1957, Sputnik 1 was launched by the Soviet Union. It was the first satellite to orbit the Earth. That's when the Black Knight was discovered, a satellite that was in geosynchronous orbit around the North Pole. Nobody allegedly knows who launched the Black Knight or where it came from or how long it's been there. Now, Sputnik 1 was the first human-launched satellite, but it was the first unmanned satellite in space. And it started the space race. The U.S. Replied to this display of force by dramatically advancing its military space initiatives and establishing a civilian space agency. At least it's called a civilian space agency, though it is part of the Department of Defense, if you look at its charter. Now, conspiracy theories can be traced back to the earliest Soviet uncrewed lunar missions. Instead of designating each launch attempt in advance, the Soviets allocated a number to a lunar mission only if the launch succeeded in sending the spacecraft beyond Earth's orbit. And this, of course, was done to conceal the number of unsuccessful efforts. And if the launch made it to Earth orbit but failed before heading for the moon, it was given a Sputnik or Cosmos number to disguise it as an actual Earth orbit mission. They also took considerable care to ensure the launch explosions were not seen by anyone. The notion that some or all components of the Apollo program are complex hoax performed by NASA with the help of support groups is one of the numerous conspiracy theories that gained ground during the span. Crewed landings between 69 and 72 were actually staged on a soundstage. The claim is that none of these 12 Apollo astronauts ever stepped foot on the moon. And during the mid-70s, there was a lot of speculation that these human crewed landings were in fact a hoax. Conspiracy theorists led the people to assume that NASA and other institutions are misleading about human landings. These organizations have been accused of fabricating, destroying, and tampering with evidence to make their point. Now, there were photos, radio communications, TV transmissions, and telemetry recordings that was evidence of the landings. And some charges have even been even accused conspiracy theorists of apprehending critical witnesses. Now, a lot of this goes back to a 1976 book by Bill Kaysing called We Never Went to the Moon, America's $30 Billion Swindle. He was a senior technical writer at Rocketdyne, the firm that manufactured the F-1 engines used on the Saturn V rocket. His book included several assertions, and one of which suggested that the possibility of a successfully human-crewed landing was about 0.0017%. When he made the comment, it would have been much simpler for NASA to stage the moon landings than it would have been to get there. Now, NASA has explained the situation to some degree in response to these allegations, although certain details remain debatable. For example, the lunar reconnaissance orbiters collected high-quality photographs of lander modules and astronaut tracks at the beginning of the 21st century. The determining decision occurred in 2012 when NASA published a photograph showing five of the six Apollo missions' flags still standing on the moon. The Apollo 11 flag was knocked down by the launch rocket's exhaust. But in spite of this, conspiracy theories still are discussed. There's theories that the first landing was staged in 1969 in order to win the space race. Well, from potential moon hoaxes, let's talk about TWA Flight 800. Took off from JFK Airport, July 17, 1996, bound for Paris. There were 230 people on board that Boeing 747. After approximately 11 minutes, the jet was flying about 13,700 feet above sea level. Now, that's lower than planes generally travel at that altitude. It had delayed gaining altitude so another plane could descend. It was over the Atlantic Ocean, 11 minutes into the flight, south to Long Island. It had been given clearance to rise and achieve cruising altitude when something happened. The plane seemed to explode without warning. Kerosene was poured from the tanks in the center and the wings, evaporated in the air, and then ignited. The result of an explosion, as well as bits of the aircraft. Everybody seems to want to call me today. Now, some eyewitnesses to the explosion were interviewed on TV and radio shortly after the incident. And they reported seeing anything strange just before the jet detonated. They said something in the air traveled toward the jet, a brilliant light that turned midway as it approached. And they said it moved both horizontally and vertically. The fact it was seen so clearly by so many people on the ground from various directions suggested that the object had to be close to the aircraft and it wasn't an optical illusion. But it wasn't only eyewitnesses who claimed to have seen something weird in the sky. Other pilots flying at the time reported seeing something near the aircraft, a bright light, as they described it, just before it exploded. There was a lot of theories that the plane had been shot down. The FBI questioned 154 credible witnesses, all of whom claimed to have seen what seemed to be a missile crossing the sky toward the airliner just before it went off, or went up.
These individuals were school instructors, scientists, corporate leaders, and members of the military whose views could be trusted. Now, the administration went to great lengths to stop folks from looking too closely at the wreckage. Clearly, there was a widespread belief there was a cover-up. Now, the Navy and the FBI disseminated material that appeared to indicate that there was something harmful on board the plane, something of a biological type that could be deadly to anybody who dealt with it. Soldiers in biohazard suits were roaming around Long Island beaches near the accident site looking for wreckage. Officials claimed that no explosive residue was detected in the wreckage, but this was subsequently shown to be incorrect. It was done to keep the public in the dark. Some thought it was a test missile gone awry, but it was subsequently revealed that it had discovered explosive residue in the wreckage and the missile had been real, not a dummy warhead at all. The government's explanation was that the plane's crash was that gasoline vapors in the plane's fuel tank in the center detonated unexpectedly, blowing off the plane's nose. They claimed the aircraft then continued to ascend and that it was the plane's ascension that others observed and mistook for a missile in the air. They said the plane then exploded and fell into the water. Now, of course, skeptics dismiss this. Official narrative contradicts what many eyewitnesses, close to 200 in fact, claim to have seen. It would imply that everyone who claimed to have seen something else than what the government said was wrong. Skeptics further claim that a 747 without a nose wouldn't continue in a stable flight long enough to achieve the ascent the government claims it made. In contrast, proponents of the idea claim the calculations and model simulations have shown this to be inaccurate. People are particularly dubious of the tale because of the Navy's unusual participation in the proceedings. It sent its finest deep-sea recovery boats to the crash site as soon as the incident happened. In fact, they took over the salvage, evicting the New York State Police Department divers who were already there. Soldiers cleaned the beaches while the Navy searched the bottom of the water in an area half the size of Rhode Island. Navy justified its considerable engagement by claiming they couldn't locate the flight recorders, the black boxes, even though numerous private boat owners in the vicinity reported their sonar and fish finders were giving up the locator pings from the boxes. And the Navy eventually revealed there were three submarines in the region when the jet crashed. Well, the authorities were determined to persuade the public that the jet just blew up for no reason. A lot of folks were skeptical and think it was shot out of the sky. Well, on that note, we've come to the end of today's show. We'll be back on Monday when, once again, we'll be talking about conspiracies and the strange and the unusual. Until then, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great weekend.